Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to @DReefer or @MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Barrino.
Foo Fighters were on Austin City Limits last night, which is on KET, so nobody listening to me has any idea what that is.
Well, before you got here yesterday, Josh was telling me that he has just kind of decided that that's our new opening song. I don't know if you noticed that that was the opening to the show yesterday.
I did notice that it was a new song, a different song that he has opened the show with, and it wasn't disagreeable to me, so I just didn't bring it up. But is it more common ground than AC/DC for you?
I don't have a problem with the AC/DC.
Oh, okay. I just didn't think you cared for the AC/DC.
No, I don't have a problem with it. Yeah.
I thought the Bulls theme song just got tired, but mainly because Josh, over the course of a year, has not learned how to start it the right
spot.
It just goes dun, dun, dun. And it does that for like 30, 45 seconds.
And by that time, you're
into
the show.
There's no dun 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 dun. Yeah. You know, the magic part of the song never gets heard. So that was like, let's just quit that and do something else a little simpler where you just push play from the beginning and it takes care of itself. You just autopilot.
But I'm good with Foo Fighters too, either way.
How you doing this morning, Josh? Good?
I'm good.
Oh, it's all right. Got the Mountain Dew or what do we what do we got today?
Citrus Drop Extreme.
Oh my God.
No.
Citrus Drop Extreme. Woo, you're going to have no teeth left by the time you're 30.
Puts hair on the chest, Dan.
I just gave my boys a talking to yesterday about the energy drinks and the stuff and what they do to your teeth because apparently kids their age that go to like the YMCA will have a Red Bull like at 7 or 8 years old.
You guys are already bouncing off the wall.
Yes.
I mean, there's
no need
for it.
Yeah, my wife will get them like little protein bars. She accidentally got Cliff Energy bars for kids one time. Like, what are you doing? This is energy.
Yeah.
It's natural in them. I mean, if they could just give us a little bit of what they got. Yeah. Well.
So a muddy track.
Yes.
And we talked yesterday about Exaggerator really thriving there. And he had a perfect trip in the Preakness. And there you go. No triple crown.
Yeah. And, you know, when they said it, when I was watching the race, when they set that blistering pace, 22.
Oh, I mean, I couldn't believe how fast it was early.
Yeah. Before they even got half mile, I told my wife, I said, Nyquist is not winning this
race.
Yeah.
He just didn't have anything left. He had nothing left.
Well, Uncle Lino got him out there and he just kept going. And Doug O'Neill said that's what we were going to do. We weren't going to try to get fancy or cute and try to outthink it. If he wants to go, we'll let him go. And he is a good enough racehorse that nobody's going to get him.
He worked in the Derby.
Yeah.
But I don't think the pace was as fast.
No, it definitely wasn't.
Yeah.
There wasn't. Well, that was the talk leading up to the Derby is there's not enough speed. We're worried about the pace. And then the pace turned out to be pretty good, but nothing like this.
Yeah.
Which is what Exaggerator got in the Santa Anita Derby. When they go so fast, there's no chance of them coming home with everything. There's going to be horses out there with much more left. And in the Derby, the pace, you know, turned out to be just right. Mm-hmm. But not here. But it was funny. Did you watch like the reactions with the DeSormo brothers on the? It's not a dais. They call it the cupola.
Yeah.
At the Preakness.
Uh-huh.
It's, my wife like jumped in on that and like, they're brothers. How can he not give him any credit whatsoever? I mean,
don't think they like each other.
I don't think they do either. So I saw that story on them for the Derby, where they basically don't even talk. And they went years without even talking. So, yeah, I don't think they like each other either. But DeSormo said knowledge is power, that he has done raced at that track so many times and knows it so well. He said, you got to paint the fence, meaning, you know, go around tight and save ground, which he did. And when he went inside for the rail saving trip, I thought, I saw that too, you know.
Yep.
But then Keith in the post race said, when he went to the rail, I thought, oh my gosh, what is he doing? He has not run a single race here today. All these other jocks have been racing today, and they know that the rail is a quagmire, and that's why they're not down there. He has lost this because, you know, all this. And Keith jumped in and said something like, experience matters, or, you know, something like that. But then when they asked him up on the cupola, Keith, about Kent's ride, or what does it mean with it? Oh, I haven't thought one second about my brother. I'm thinking about this, that, the other. Yeah, I really don't. It is not special to them.
I mean, they say it. They've said it without saying it. Like, of course, since they're brothers, they've been asked it a million times. And they always keep saying, well, I can't really put into words what it means to me.
Yeah.
Because the words are probably like, my brother sucks. And I just wanted to win the Preakness for myself.
I just don't get it. I mean, I know that, you know, sibling rivalry and all that, and but they've got some deep issues there.
But, I mean, it appeared Keith doesn't even trust Kent to ride at Pimlico, where whereas Donna Brothers pointed out in the post-race, like, that's where he's had the majority of his success.
Yeah.
And won his Eclipse Awards because of Pimlico, and still he just didn't trust him there.
It could be that Keith has no patience for Kent's problems, because he does have a little bit of a problem there. I mean, when you're at the draw and you go on live TV to be interviewed and you curse three times and it's apparent that you've had a little a little too much.
And this is not your first rodeo, so you know exactly how this stuff works and that you cannot do that.
You've gotten in trouble for it. And even in the story I saw leading up to the Derby, Kent DeSormo says, I've got it under control. And Keith says, he needs help. And then their parents say he's in complete denial. So I think that could be a big part of it is, I'm not going to be nice to you. You need to take care of this. Yeah. And until you do. And so he's gone through this. Let's hope. You just hate to think about one of these nights, big race, Kent DeSormo, and then the next morning you hear of some tragedy.
Yeah.
That's just what you don't want to hear about.
Well, and, you know, on a very separate note, but there was tragedy at the race course yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and I don't know how you handle that. I saw some people who were how can you even be happy about a Preakness or celebrate anything when you had two horses die as a direct result of racing? You know, because one of the horses broke down on the final turn and in the front... one of the front legs, threw the jockey. Jockey broke his collarbone. And then that horse had to be euthanized right there. And then the other one, the 9-year-old racehorse. That sounds a little too old to be racing.
Yes, it does.
When you think about these 3-year-olds who go right to the breeding shed after their 3-year-old year or after a 4-year-old, some of these horses race at 5 and 6.
9 seems like we are trying to get every last dime out of this horse.
Race till they drop.
And he did.
Yes, exactly.
He did. I mean, that's what happened.
And then, I mean, I have no idea. I'm not going to throw things at the horse. But just to say, hypothetically, you would think at age 9, you know, racing since 3-year-old year, that this horse would have had a lot of medication over the years. Now, how much medication does he need at age 9? I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, apparently, one of the quotes I read was they thought it might have been a heart attack walking back. But that horse is going to be shipped to Pennsylvania for a autopsy. So we'll see. But, you know, PETA came out, and their biggest thing was, we want to see what medications they had 2 weeks before racing. Give us that. Otherwise, we don't want to hear it. You know, give us that. Because their whole thing is, these horses don't need these medications because they mask real issues that veterinarians can't see because of the... I mean, it's a super competitive industry, and they're athletes. And just like cortisone shots for an athlete that has an ailment... to go out there and play. Or, you know, guys, football players, they play with all kinds of injuries. I mean, so do other athletes. But and they take stuff, too. You know, like they take a painkiller, just get me through this game. The difference, of course, is the horses don't have a choice.
I was going to say, that's, you know, that's their choice.
So it does put a damper on things. However, that does not stop horse racing numbers. Like, that, I don't know where this, I know that there have been some issues with racetracks closing and purses down and stuff like that. But for the Triple Crown Series, people come out big.
And yesterday was a record crowd by about 4,000 people, broke the attendance record. And that is on a day where you knew on Wednesday it was going to rain all day Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So the weather did not deter people from going. I mean, last year, like, it was a pop-up storm out of nowhere at the Preakness. But this year it rained all day, and everybody knew it was going to rain all day, and they still came out and drew 135,000 or something like that. And it was a record handle for Pimlico as well.
Yeah, people bet the most they have bet on Preakness Day since 2005. The record then was $91 million. Yesterday it was $94 million bet on that track for that day.
You know, it's got to signal a positive trend.
Yeah. I mean, 135,000 people come out for a horse race, for a day of racing. That's big. Horse racing... As long as horse racing is getting those kind of numbers, I think it should be fine.
Do you know what? I think there is, and I'm sure an argument sometimes is, there are so many things to do, right? There's so much to do. There's so many different things to watch. And I think at some point, people are just like, you know what? Let's throw back and go to a horse race.
Yeah.
Because people have been doing that for 100 years. And I don't know. There's something that I feel like a nostalgia about that is not just horse racing, but anything that kind of has an old feel to it, people are starting to get into. And I, you know, that might be a thing with horse racing as well.
Well, and then if you live in Baltimore and you like to party,
yeah,
and you're
right.
Young, I mean, what bigger party is there all year than the one in the infield at Pimlico? I mean, there were, what, 60,000, 70,000 people in the infield, and they had a concert.
Betty Wop was performing.
And the Chainsmokers? I have no idea who those guys are, but...
Oh, even I've heard of them.
Come on, really?
Buddy. Oh, yeah. And
I saw them interviewed, and they said... They're like, well, you know, we're just... We were in Alabama till like 2 in the morning last night, and it got kind of weird, and so we're just trying to, like, you know, hair the dog this morning and just make it through and kind of have the energy, because then we turn around and go to, like, Vegas tomorrow. So we're just trying to... keep it weird or something like that. Like, whoa, those guys.
You
guys are messed
weird,
up right now as they're speaking. Well, we'll get on to talking UK softball because they won and played today.
But they also lost.
Yes.
So that means they've got to win twice today.
They have to beat Utah twice today. We'll talk about that in a minute. The big win for the UK baseball team. And then Kyle Tucker from the Courier-Journal is going to join us. Of course, he's been in contact with Isaiah Briscoe's dad for the last few weeks, just getting updates on what's going on. So we'll talk to him about UK basketball. And we'll take your calls, 381-1313, here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio, 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300.
Ride rough, ride tough.
MLS Power Sports, Central Kentucky's only premier Arctic Cat dealer and one of the highest volume pre-owned power sports stores in the Southeast. MLS Power Sports offers service on all major brand motorcycles, dirt bikes, ATVs, and side-by-sides. Looking to accessorize your ATV? You can find it all at MLS Power Sports. Stop by anytime, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown. Meet the friendly, experienced staff that will enjoy serving you. For more information, check out MLSPowerSports.com.
But most of all, ride victoriously.
Yeah, ride victoriously.
Brothers Auto Sales is Central Kentucky's number one dealer of pre-owned vehicles. At Brothers Auto Sales, you'll find the most complete selection of quality pre-owned cars and trucks available today. Every vehicle comes with a Carfax report documenting every aspect of the vehicle's history. Plus, we have an A-plus rating from the BBB. Brothers Auto Sales open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. for sales. Their top-notch service department is there Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5. Brothers Auto Sales, 285 East New Circle at the corner of Bryan Station Road or on the web at brothersautosales.com. No gimmicks, no games, no high pressure. Just the best prices on quality pre-owned vehicles in Central Kentucky, period. Brothers Auto Sales.
Getting ready for the Lexington Rodeo June 17th and 18th at the Kentucky Horse Park is sponsored by the Rotary Club of Lexington. One of the stars of the show, Hippie the Clown, is with us. Here's a question for you. What's it like being in a barrel in the eyes of a bull?
When you're down in that barrel and that bull smokes it and you go rolling end over end and around, it'd be kind of like jumping inside of a dryer, turning it on, and having somebody shove it down the stairs.
Obviously, it's a dangerous thing to do.
That part is, because there's only one way in and only one way out. You're stuck in there until the ride's over. And there's times where them bulls want to come inside with you. I've had a lot of horns inside the barrel with me. I've had heads inside the barrel with me pick me up and throw me down back on the ground inside the barrel. It gets a little hairy at that, but at the same time, it's kind of exciting. It's like being on your favorite roller coaster.
Get your tickets now for the Lexington Rodeo at lexingtonrodeo.org and use the promo code ESPN and get a $2 per ticket discount. The Lexington Rodeo, two big days at the Kentucky Horse Park, a PRCA-sanctioned event, June 17th and 18th for the Lexington Rotary Club.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You know, we had Wave 3's Kent Taylor on with us yesterday. And he was the first one that I saw that had it, that Nyquist was moving on. Got it from the assistant trainer.
To the Belmont. So they will, yeah, they will race each other for a sixth time.
Yeah, because Exaggerator lost to Nyquist four straight. Finally got him. It went, by the way, Exaggerator, Cherrywine, Nyquist, Stradivari. I was so happy for Dale Romans to get
Cherrywine.
Yeah, Cherrywine up there and had a close one. So it was good to see him get up in there. And so now Cherrywine will move on to the Belmont. Exaggerator, Nyquist, Brody's Cause, all going. So you get another rematch, which to me, if you don't have the Triple Crown,
that's the best.
This is good too. I don't have to have a Triple Crown
that's
to like
1B.
It, but
1A and 1B.
Yeah, if one of them had not gone, mm-hmm, which we knew Exaggerator was going, but if Nyquist said, "No, that's it." The only people happy there are the bettors, because then it opens up a chance to make some big bucks. But without Nyquist, it makes it kind of like a match race. But then you throw Cherrywine into the mix, and Lonnie has run okay in the Derby and okay in the Preakness. Now Lonnie, I think
he's still crazy.
still crazy. But Lonnie got up, you know, in the Derby, wasn't in the top four or five, but was in the area, like didn't just run some horrible race, and then was fifth yesterday. And so Lonnie in the Belmont, that would be another, you know, quarter of a mile for that horse. And this horse is known for distance.
Yeah.
So that could be like somebody made a joke that finishing fifth for celebration, Lonnie's going to do like 4 mile gallops tomorrow or something like that. But anyway, that horse is crazy as it is. Could jump up and make some noise in the Belmont.
He was on the track all by himself for like 10 minutes.
Yes. When they said that, I was like, ah, jeez. So I don't know, you know, what it means to be carrying around 126 extra pounds for 10 minutes, but it's probably not as good as the ones that weren't carrying around
right,
that kind of weight. So I'm going to have to play Lonnie.
In the Belmont?
In the Belmont. Definitely going to be a key play. Yesterday, I mean, I had the right mix, but I had to have Nyquist and Exaggerator 1-2. If I didn't have that, I didn't have anything, and I didn't have that. So, but I didn't know how else it could possibly go.
I did not foresee it going any other way. No,
I just didn't. And then, you know, Cherrywine just, you know, nipped Nyquist there for a second. If that hadn't happened, yours truly made superfecta and trifecta money. So So that, yeah, that's
so. How happy are you really for Dale Roman?
Yeah. Well, I just like the guy, but yeah. All right, Al's on the phone. Good morning, Al.
Hey there. How you doing?
Good morning, Al.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I tell you, American Federal winning it last year in the slop truly means that you have to be a great racehorse to win the Triple Crown, because similar conditions existed yesterday, and Nyquist could not win that event. So when you talk about Triple Crown and guys that win it, certainly those horses are special. And, you know, it's difficult as it may be, similar circumstances or weather conditions existed last year for American Pharoah. Mary Jo, I did want to ask you a question. When you look at female anchors and you think about Phyllis George Brown, I think Jane Kennedy was also prominent back in the 70s and early 80s. And then you look at Linda Cohn, ESPN, and some of the other females. Is there a female anchor out there that you, you know, was impressed with and inspired you to go into sports journalism or into journalism? Or can you comment about those that pioneered the way?
I've had the pleasure to meet a lot of them along the way too, and I would say Leslie Visser is definitely all the way up there for me. She got bathrooms, women's bathrooms, put in press boxes at NFL stadiums.
She got access to locker rooms, right?
Yeah. I mean,
wasn't she the first female reporter to be allowed into an NFL locker room?
And it's not because she was gorgeous. I'm not making a comment on her looks, but I mean,
right.
She started out as a writer for the Boston Globe. And I mean, the Boston Globe at one time was Leslie Visser, Bob Ryan, Peter Gammons. I mean, just like a crazy staff.
Yeah.
So I would definitely say her. I think there's a lot that I really enjoy watching right now. I really like Lindsay Zarniak on ESPN. I think she does a great job.
What about
I don't know
Susie Colbert? Do you think she does? Do you like her or no?
Yeah, she's okay. I wouldn't say there was like one that inspired me to go into it. I just always really liked sports, so I actually really wanted to be a foreign correspondent on like the nightly news. That was initially what I wanted to do.
Thank goodness you didn't do that.
Right.
Oof.
Well, you know, certainly, the news anchors, and it took a whole lot of perseverance by a whole, you know, a lot of females that was eager to get into your industry. I'm sure there was, you know, those that, you know, in power that blocked that due to the fact that women's liberation wasn't that prominent back in the 70s. And, you know, certainly Helen Reddy, and Billie Jean King, those two come out at the top of my head as being pioneers of being able to allow women to participate in other areas of the United States other than being in the kitchen cooking all day. So, that's why I asked you that question.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably have to go with Leslie Visser, but there was a lot that came, you know, that I never really had much of a challenge with that.
Yeah.
So. I've been fortunate.
Well, y'all enjoy your weekend and the rest of your Sunday.
All right.
Thank you, Al.
Thank you. To me, I am not blinded by beauty when it comes to, because there was the trend to go with the really good looking girl for the sidelines, which I think is fine because it opens up opportunities that didn't exist before for women.
And I also truly believe, like, you can still be good at your job and be beautiful.
Right.
I mean, I think there's plenty of women out there doing it that have both.
But if you're just good looking and not good, you're not fooling me. Like,
you can see that a mile away.
Yeah. And I've seen it. And when you do, it's just, eh.
I'll be honest, like that Britt McHenry. I just can't.
She's the one that just berated the woman at the, yeah. There are a couple, I'm drawing a blank, I'm blown away by how, like, sharp they are, just how natural they are.
I think,
like,
Wendy Nix does a good job on ESPN.
Maria Taylor for the SEC Network.
Yeah, she's great.
She does a really good job.
Kaylee Hartung, I think, is
Kaylee Hartung, that's one I was thinking of. She is, She's phenomenal. She's just on top of it. She's just natural and just knowledgeable, doesn't stutter around. And the ones that drive me crazy are the ones that ask, like, the dumbest questions. And one of them I have not liked from the very beginning, and this is way before she had any controversy or anything, is Erin Andrews. I just have never cared for her. And I know she's a gorgeous girl and a, you know, former cheerleader and all that, but I just have never thought that she's done that great of a job. However, the Richard Sherman thing, she handled that okay.
Yeah.
I mean, she turned right back around to ask a good question. Janine Edwards is another one I think is excellent.
Yes.
Very good. She is. Despite taking Billy Gillespie's worst.
Listen, Doris Roberts is really good.
Burke.
Yes. Why am I saying Roberts?
I don't know. Robin Roberts.
Robin Roberts was awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. And still is awesome. Doris Burke.
Very good.
Listen, I mean, she knows what she's talking about.
She does. She absolutely does. She does a phenomenal job. Yes. 381-1313 if you want to get in here. That wasn't one of the topics we were going to go with, but we sure can.
Those are people we like.
Yes.
What about some people that other people hate?
Like Jacob Tammy. What?
First name that comes to your mind.
What? You got to be kidding me. Here's how this all started. I saw this on Friday night on Twitter where Jacob Tammy just says something where he's retweeting something and says, "Haters gonna hate." And I get to looking at that, what he retweeted, and it's a radio show on Sirius XM. And so some sports radio show on Sirius XM has this list. The Players You Love to Hate list was published. And they put it out there, and it got Tom Brady, Cam Newton, Richard Sherman, and then the fourth name is Jacob Tammy. There's four names on it. That's it. Like, well, how did Jacob Tammy get his name on this list? Well, the Sirius XM NFL show host, Alex Marvez, said it was because a caller brought up the topic of players he loved to hate, and he named Tom Brady, Cam Newton, Richard Sherman for being polarizing players, and then he named Jacob Tammy because someone called and said they hated the fact that Tammy would catch Dallas Clark's touchdown passes when Dallas Clark was hurt in Indianapolis. This is back before Tammy went to Denver.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. I mean,
and now he's in Atlanta. But Tammy, in only the way Jacob Tammy can do, he got people to, you know, make up stuff as to why they love to hate him when they really are fans of his. And so they do it in just great ways.
He won the poll, by the way.
Yes.
Like, he's the most hated, the guy.
The player that people love to hate the most.
And then someone tweeted, "Jacob Tammy wins everything. Don't you hate him?"
Here's what is, Jacob Tammy is the type of guy who lets you sleep in past your alarm knowing you have an important meeting. Jacob Tammy tweets so many spoilers during all of the shows that you love. Jacob Tammy drives 7 miles per hour under the speed limit in the fast lane. So somebody photoshopped a picture of him at the DMV. Lines are so long at the DMV because of this guy, Jacob Tammy. So they came up with all kinds of stuff and just made it so popular and drew so much more attention to it than it got anywhere.
Yes.
Nobody was paying attention to that, really. I mean, it got something like, I don't know, 3,000 votes or something, but the Falcons fans jumped in. And then Kentucky fans jumped in as well.
Yeah, Jacob said, "We did it. You guys hate so good. Alice and Tammy has some scrapbooking to do." He says, "Well, I was going to put together a scrapbook for winning this."
So that's awesome. So if you're confused with anything you saw on Twitter about Jacob Tammy and why people were hating on him, it's because he embraced it, invited it, asked for it, and wanted to win the poll.
And he's retweeted some funny ones. Jacob Tammy still uses Internet Explorer.
Yeah.
Jacob Tammy passed me bread at dinner, but did so without a smile. Guy is insufferable.
Voted for Tammy. Still can't believe he tripped Jennifer Lawrence at the Oscars. Jacob Tammy goes through the 10 items or less express line at the grocery store with 15.
Jacob Tammy wrote Batman versus Superman.
Yes, I saw that. That one. Jacob Tammy hands out apples to trick-or-treaters. Now, this one's good, too. Jacob Tammy gave my undefeated youth football team a pregame pep talk. We lost.
Jacob Tammy listens to Nickelback.
Jacob Tammy asked me if I was interested in a timeshare deal.
Jacob Tammy watched the Chewbacca Mask Mom viral video and didn't much care for it.
When I saw that, I thought that was like, what? Did he really? And then I got caught on what was going on. Jacob Tammy still links people to Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up, and thinks it's funny.
Oh my gosh, these are great. Some of these are great.
One time Jacob let me stay at his house when my flight was canceled, but only offered a futon to sleep on. I like this one too. Remember, these are reasons why we hate Jacob Tammy. I saw Jacob Tammy wearing Zubas. At least they were red and black. Jacob thinks Scooby and the gang meddle too much.
There's some good ones out here.
There's plenty. There was one that went, and Tammy said, this goes so far over the line that I can't even see the line anymore, which was someone tweeted a picture, a Photoshop picture, and said, Jacob Tammy has this hanging in his living room, and it is the Leitner shot, and it is Tammy's face on Leitner's face.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. And Jacob was like, all right.
That's too much. I hate me now.
Yes. That was pretty good. Pretty good. 381-1313 is the number if you want to get in here. And coming up at 10 o'clock, we'll have Kyle Tucker talking about UK basketball, a little bit on Isaiah Briscoe and what he might do, because they've got till Wednesday.
Yep.
Wednesday they've got to decide, he and Marcus Lee. So we'll talk about that next here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Lexington? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show, Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Lexington area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Lexington is a perfect market for my system, and next week I'm holding a free 2-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get 2 free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-266-1959. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. That's 1-800-266-1959. That's 1-800-266-1959.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
Recently, a new client called me and started by saying, I really need your help, but I'm just a nobody. Those words stunned me, and I immediately called him back, and we're now helping him and his family after a terrible accident. Everybody who comes to our firm at their time of need is a somebody. I grew up poor, but my grandmother was like a queen to us. At Morgan & Morgan, our goal is to level the playing field for you and your family at your time of need. The insurance company has unlimited money and resources. You need a firm who can fight them toe-to-toe. For right at 30 years, we have fought them in courtrooms throughout America. Our results speak for themselves. And always remember this, everybody is a somebody, and nobody is a nobody. Visit forthepeople.com to learn about our firm, Morgan & Morgan, for the people.
Offices Lexington.
If you can envision the garden of your dreams, we can bring your vision to reality. We're Springhouse Gardens. Let us help you select the flowers, shrubs, and trees to make your property the envy of your neighborhood. Visit our garden center off Harrodsburg Road, just 4 miles south of Man O' War. We're blooming 7 days a week. Springhouse Gardens, where buying plants is a walk in the park. Catch a glimpse online at springhousegardens.com or like us on Facebook.
ESPN Sports Radio 13. The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call
888-381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Well, the UK softball team plays today at 1 o'clock. I don't know if you got to see the end of that game.
They had to stave off some elimination yesterday.
That was pretty wild. Well, first, they won their game against Butler. That was from Friday. And that game started at 11 o'clock, where they picked it up. And then they had to turn around and play Utah. Mm-hmm. And they lost to Utah. So that meant they had to wait for another game. So they played a doubleheader and then waited for a game to see who they would play.
7:30, 8 o'clock, they didn't play till last
right,
night.
Right, till 7:30, yeah. So it was Illinois, and they were down 2-0. And then finally came through, got a run, and cut it to 1, where it could have been tied. You know, a situation where it could have been tied, but they just got one run out of it. And then so now they're at their last bats, last chance. And they've got Silver Samuel, the speedster. She's the all-time school leader in stolen bases.
She just did that yesterday, I think. Broke the record.
Mm-hmm. So, and she's safe. The throw to first pulls the girl off the bag, and they call her out. And Silver Samuel is upset about it, and she's chirping a little bit. Rachel Lawson comes out, is very upset about it. And so it's one of those moments where, like, all right, you know, you just cost us right here.
Yeah.
Because it was two outs instead of one, I think. And you had the, instead of first and second, you just had a runner at second. So anyway, it's one of those situations where you can go, well, you blew it. You know, they just cost us the game. And then not bounce back. So it says something about the girl at the plate. Reed, was it? I forgot it. I'm sorry. I'm not even looking at the box score that I have. But anyway, she keeps it going. And Kentucky ties the game.
Yes, and Katie Reed.
Katie Reed. Kentucky ties the game and then goes into extra innings. And Christian Stokes comes through, and Kentucky wins it 3-2.
So now they play Utah today, and Utah is undefeated through this regional. So if Utah wins, that's it.
Yeah.
If Kentucky beats Utah, then they have to play again because Utah will only have one loss, and it's a double elimination tournament. So Kentucky has to win back-to-back games today.
After playing like 10 hours yesterday, they played that doubleheader. They started at 11. Their final game didn't end till 9:40.
I mean, that's brutal.
Yeah. So by the time they get in and go to bed, it's at least midnight, and they're back up this morning by 8 or 9 o'clock.
With your season on the line.
Yeah.
Your whole season.
Now, the thing is, we'll see how Kelsey Nunley looks. Now, Rachel Lawson said she's got two pitchers, Megan Prince and Kelsey Nunley, two main pitchers. Kelsey Nunley is SEC Pitcher of the Year, and she is a finalist for National Player of the Year. And so she wasn't going to pitch against Illinois, and they threw Megan Prince out there, and then after an inning, maybe, I think, Nunley came in and finished it off. And Rachel Lawson said afterward it wasn't so much of what Megan Prince had or didn't have, it was that the matchup, like the strike zone for her and the way it was matched, it just didn't look good. So we got away from it. And Nunley, late in the game, got hit on the wrist, her non-throwing wrist, but then it looked like it might have caught her fingers on her pitching hand. So I don't know. Who knows if she wakes up and's got a grapefruit on her wrist.
But you're probably going to need both of them today regardless.
Yeah, well, she got to use both of them. Mm-hmm. Nunley pitched twice yesterday.
Games.
For her to pitch twice today would be insane. You would think they would throw Nunley in that first game. Who knows? Don't know. We'll see. But you would think you would throw your best one out there. But you got to hope, like I said, that Nunley doesn't have too much issue with her wrist where she got hit or on her pitching hand at all. So I never saw any answers as to who's going to pitch and how Nunley is feeling, but, you know, a night of rest.
But finally, a beautiful day out there, so go out to John Kropp Stadium and support the ladies.
1 o'clock today.
The baseball team did get the 8th seed in the SEC tournament, and they will face Alabama in their first game.
Heck of a job by Kyle Cody, the senior for Kentucky. He's been the Sunday pitcher this season. And he goes out there in his final game, final home game as a Wildcat. His senior day, they're honoring the seniors, all that. And he throws his first ever complete game. First of his career in 4 years at Kentucky. And ties his career high for strikeouts with 9. And so Kentucky wins that game against Missouri 7-2 to improve to 32-24. 15-15 overall in the SEC. Alabama has the same record, almost 31-24, 15-15 in the SEC. But Kentucky beat Alabama 2 of 3 here in Lexington during the regular season. So that's why Kentucky gets a little bit of a higher seed. Got to win that first game. Don't mess around. Just go down there and win the first game.
Yeah. And that's Tuesday. They play Tuesday evening.
5:30 Eastern, and it'll be the whole thing will be on SEC Network. So for Kentucky, Dustin Beggs is their best pitcher. He's been their Saturday pitcher, and he's been their best, but he pitched on Friday. So Saturday, Sunday, Monday, that's only 3 days. I don't know if Gary Henderson would pitch him on 3 days rest. I would think he would, but he may just go with Zach Brown. And Zach Brown, while he hasn't been, like he's been pretty decent, just had unfortunate luck where he hasn't gotten the run support sometimes. Sometimes he's been not so good.
Mm-hmm.
But he has maybe the second most losses ever as a pitcher in one season at Kentucky. So I don't know if it's bad luck or what. It doesn't matter. To me, it's the record is what it is. Whatever combination is going on, when he's on the mound, you're not – winning very often.
And you got to win that first game.
Yes. So I think they should 3 days rest throw Dustin Beggs. Well, who knows? And then you can come back with Zach Brown. We'll see.
3-1-13-13 if you want to give us a call, at D Reefer, at MJP18 if you want to tweet us something. I've really loved looking at some of these Jacob Tammy things. They've been hilarious.
Now, as far as Kentucky getting into the NCAA tournament in baseball, you know, Brent Ingram, who has, gosh, watched this and covered this for so many years with Kentucky, he said he just didn't see it with that 15-15 SEC record,
mm-hmm,
and the RPI that they have. He just didn't see him getting in. But if you are the 8 seed in the tournament, I mean, do the top 8 teams in the SEC get into the NCAA tournament? Most of the time they do. The top 6 are ridiculous.
Yes.
They are crazy. Mississippi State, by the way, won the SEC regular season title yesterday with their win. John Cohen, the former UK coach.
Yep.
Last year they lost 9 of 10 SEC series. This year they won 9 of 10 SEC series. They won the whole thing. So they're the number 1 seed. But you've got like Mississippi State and LSU and South Carolina and Ole Miss and Vanderbilt and did I say Florida already?
No.
That's those 6 right there are all likely to be national seeds.
Yeah.
And then who gets in after that? Is Kentucky going to jump in there? Because those 6 that I mentioned, Kentucky went 7-5 during the season against those 6. They took 2 of 3 from Florida,
yeah,
2 of 3 from South Carolina. They got swept by Ole Miss. Should have won one of those games at Ole,
yes,
Miss. One of them was a walk-off. They should have won that last. Should not have gotten swept. Oh, I'm sorry, Vanderbilt. Actually, Kentucky is not 7-5. They lost 2 of 3 to Vanderbilt. So add that to it, and they're 8-7. Still above 500.
That's still a good record against those
against
teams.
Against 4 of the top 6 teams in the,
yes,
SEC. If you could look at that, I don't know if they will. We'll see. Joe from Paris on the line. Good morning, Joe.
Morning, Joe.
Good morning. Good morning. Jake and Tammy drank my last beer at 5 o'clock this morning. Here in Bourbon County on Sunday.
Oh, boy. That's a good one.
I didn't know if that was on or not. I hadn't had a chance to check it.
No, it was not. That was not tweeted yet.
That's a good one.
Go on, throw it on there for me.
All right.
That's a good one.
If you can take credit for it, Dan.
All right. I'll do it. I'll do it. No problem.
Hey, I just called in and say, hey, you know, enjoy your show and love listening, y'all. You know, you're all a lot of company when I'm cooking on Sunday mornings. And I love y'all have a great banner. And I love talking sports, but I love how y'all get off on other subjects. And last week we was talking about being wild, Dan.
Yes.
This is what my brother and best friend and I used to do. We would take dishwashing liquid bottles and fill it up with water. Because back in the 60s, most people didn't have air conditioners in their car. So they're riding with their windows down. As they go by, you know, we squirt them in the face real quick, take off running. You know? So I say that's how we were invented back in the 60s. They got caught once, and they called the police on us, and the police laughed at the guy. Hey, I got to go. I got stuff cooking. Appreciate y'all. Have a great rest of the weekend.
All right,
thank
you too.
Thank you, Joe. Sometime you I want some of whatever Joe's cooking, because it always sounds like
always sounds
amazing.
Good. Yeah. He cooks it up on Sunday mornings, no doubt. We got to take a break. Give us a call, 381-1313. We'll be back with more on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300. 24/7, 365
days, times two, I was contemplating. The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Wow, what a rough day at work. I'm so in the mood for happy hour. Feel like joining me?
Sure. Where do you want to go?
Somewhere where I can definitely relax on a great patio with a glass of wine or a cocktail. Maybe even a bite to eat.
Didn't you want Trevini Italian Kitchen and Wine Bar? It has all that and more.
CJ here for Trevini Italian Kitchen and Wine Bar. Trevini is the perfect place for patio season. We offer two great patios to enjoy happy hour, as well as daily drink specials, wine flights, $5 bar bites, and made-from-scratch entrees. Be sure to schedule your next event with us in our private wine room and sign up for our monthly wine dinners. We also offer full-service off-site catering. Trevini Italian Kitchen and Wine Bar, located at Fayette Mall. Ciao!
MLS Power Sports, Central Kentucky's only Arctic Cat, ATV, Prowler, Wildcat dealer, and one of the highest volume pre-owned power sports stores in the Southeast. MLS Power Sports offers service on all major brand motorcycles, dirt bikes, ATVs, and side-by-sides. Looking to accessorize your ATV? You can find it all at MLS Power Sports. Stop by anytime, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown. Meet the friendly, experienced staff that will enjoy serving you. For more information, check out MLSPowerSports.com.
Ride rough, ride tough, MLS Power Sports, got the ride you're looking for.
But most of all, ride victoriously.
The following commercial contains a bunch of super secret information.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, the following commercial is all wink, wink, hush, hush.
Stick to the script.
At the Body Bay, we have things. So many things. You like tie-dyes? We got them. We got rolling papers, disc golf supplies, incense, C6, glassware, vapes and pipes, flow toys, and other things. Hey, 420 is a cool number, isn't it? The Body Bay, we're just like 420. We're the coolest place in town. We have staff. They are friendly. We have stuff, you know? You want to be cool, too? Shop here and you will be. The Body Bay. 420 East New Circle Road next to Pizza Hut in Lexington. We're the place to buy things to do stuff with.
The Dan and Mary Joe Hello. Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Joe on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
He'll give you the answer that you endorse. He's always on a steady course. Talk to Mr. Ed.
Mr. Ed, popular show back in the day. And the star from that show, not the horse. The horse is long gone. But Alan Young from Mr. Ed died at age 96, I think, Friday this weekend. And Josh said he had no idea about Mr. Ed.
I hadn't heard
the news
that the star had died.
Well, I haven't watched the show in a long time. It's been a long time.
I would have assumed he was probably already dead.
I would. 96, that's a long time.
Yeah, it is.
But for anyone not listening, surely everyone listening knows Mr. Ed. Josh did not. The talking horse.
Yeah,
Mr.
I mean,
Ed.
It's not like I grew up watching Mr. Ed, or you did, but you
know. Familiar with it, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks You're familiar with his work.
Thanks to, like, Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
You know, Nick at Night or something like that. So
TV Land.
Yeah. Don't want to get too political here. Not going to take stands on this. But you know, the transgender bathroom thing is sweeping the country.
Yes.
And down there in Letcher County, they are taking a stand. Can't pee here. Kim Davis did it with the gay marriage in Rowan County, the county clerk, using the same law firm in Letcher County. They're doing the same thing where they're going to have their own rules. Whatever, you know, president says, whatever we don't care. We're doing it our way. Now, whatever you want to do, that's fine. But this is the great part right here. When magistrate Bobby Howard first brought up the issue of transgender bathrooms on Monday night, Letcher judge executive Jim Ward laughed and told Howard he wasn't certain what he was talking about. So let me just set the scene. The judge executive's like, you know, he's not in tune with what's going on in the world as far as the transgender bathroom issue. So when this magistrate comes up, Letcher County magistrate comes up and says, hey, here's the deal. What are you talking about, Bobby? What are you talking about, Bobby? I could just see it going down. But after Howard's request was clarified, Ward said he also does not approve of mixed bathrooms and was joined in this view by the rest of the court. So once they explained to old Judge Ward.
What's the city in Letcher County? I know
Whitesburg.
Whitesburg, yes. Yeah, I was there last week.
I played in the Big Sandy Bowl up there. It was one of the great times of my high school football career. Didn't play in the game. It was just a freshman. But
do they have that bowl anymore? Do they still have that
the
bowl?
Big Sandy Bowl? I don't know if they do or not. It was in I don't know. But the deal is they gave us a bus, like a nice bus, not a school bus. Like, you know, a charter bus with its own bathroom. And gave us T-shirts that said Big Sandy Bowl. And, you know, fed us. And they brought us up there because we're little old Williamsburg. They want to thump us. We went up there and won the game. 28-0. Yeah.
28-0.
Yeah. It was not against Whitesburg. It was against Paintsville, but it was Whitesburg's bowl, Big Sandy Bowl. And so we're like, yeah, wine and diners, and we're going to beat you down. We enjoyed that. But, this thing's gonna carry out. This transgender thing is going to just keep. I don't want to get into it and give opinions on it and all that. We'll just stir up a bunch of stuff, and we don't really want to do that right before this break. We're about to talk UK basketball with Kyle Tucker coming up. But something else that that happened this weekend is, you know, Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Yes, definitely know him.
The wrestler. I was a big fan of his work. Well, you know, he's being charged now with a murder from 1983, or with a death, 1983, his girlfriend. And at the time, he wasn't charged with anything. And then something happened, I don't know, and they brought it back up, and now he's being tried for it. And so he testified. And who knows, one side saying it's all a ruse.
I mean, this is 30 years later.
And the other side is saying it's for real, but they're saying that his competency is not there from all the concussions suffered in wrestling. So he testified where he didn't know, like, the year, the president, his mother's name. These are questions a judge is asking him, and he's saying he doesn't know the answer to. Now, the prosecution is saying this is, you know, he's trying to do this so that he doesn't have to spend the rest of his life in jail. But if that's true, though, I mean, you think about wrestlers'
it's
lives.
Night after night after night after night. I mean, they don't.
No.
When they're on that circuit.
Yeah.
It's 6 nights a week, 7 nights a week. And you don't take time off.
Right. And they do things that cause collisions. I mean, that stuff, you want to say it's fake. The physical contact is real.
Yeah.
And the outcome may be something scripted and written beforehand and storylines
and
all that.
And the characters and you know, the people that they are playing and the evil and the good guys, the bad guys. That's all scripted and fake, but they're taking a beating.
Right.
I mean, they're taking a beating.
I mean, yes, they hit the mat just a little bit more to make the sound of something worse than it really is, but they still, 6 nights a week, still happens. And how many wrestlers have died at a young age?
Mm-hmm.
Over and over, you just name how many. But who knows what Superfly Snuka's real state of mental health is. But just kind of sad. All right, coming up next, we'll talk to Kyle Tucker. You got Isaiah Briscoe and Marcus Lee, both with decisions to make. Wednesday's the day they got to stay or say, do I stay or do I go? And we'll talk to Kyle Tucker about that coming up next on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Don't take chances with your fine clothing. Come to Emperor's Cleaners and have your clothes treated like royalty. Emperor's Cleaners will make you look good every day. Or for special occasions, Emperor's Cleaners also preserves wedding gowns to make them look as good as new. Emperor's Cleaners specializes in leather cleaning, shirt laundry, custom work, and alterations. You'll find them in the Idle Hour Shopping Center on Richmond Road. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday from 9 until 3. Emperor's Cleaners treats you and your clothes like royalty.
Health, recreation, transportation, safety, whatever your reason is for riding, ride with the Bluegrass Cycling Club. With 1,000 members, you'll never have to ride alone, and you'll be able to experience the beauty of Central Kentucky while improving your health. Whether you're an experienced rider, just beginning, or even considering, the Bluegrass Cycling Club has rides and instructional classes to fit every need. For more information, go to bgcycling.net today. Registration for the Horsey 100 is now open. Register early and save. bgcycling.net.
Fleet Doc, can we help you?
Yeah, my car, it goes real. Can you fix that?
Oh, no problem. We can fix that.
No matter if your vehicle is personal or business, Fleet Doc will take care of it with a 24-month nationwide guarantee on all parts and labor as a TechNet professional member. Even complimentary roadside assistance is available should you break down. Fleet Doc has everything to be your trusted vehicle doctor.
Visit us on Contract Street behind Green's Toyota in Lexington and online at fleet-doc.com.
Bingba, bingba.
Your trusted vehicle doctor. Fleet Doc.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. WLHG Lexington. And LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
Mike Biombo set a Raptors playoff record with 26 rebounds. Toronto defeated Cleveland 99-84 in Game 3 of the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals. Cavs' lead is down to 2-1. In the defeat, LeBron James had 24 points, 8 rebounds. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love shot a combined 4-4, 28, and 16 points. Warriors star Steph Curry says his elbow's fine heading into Game 3 of the West Finals tonight against the Thunder. 7 Eastern ESPN Radio. Curry landed on the elbow while diving into the stands going for a loose ball in Game 2. Series tied 1-1. Game 4 of the NHL's West Final. The Blues chased Sharks netminder Martin Jones after scoring 4 goals on 19 shots. St. Louis snapped San Jose's 6-game home playoff winning streak 6-3, tied the series up 2-2. Blues captain David Backes suffered an apparent injury, set out the entire second as well as the third period. He is expected, though, to play in Game 5 tomorrow. East Final resumes with Game 5 tonight. Lightning and Penguins tied up at 2 games apiece. Exaggerator won the Preakness. Kentucky Derby winner Nyquist finished third. Baseball, the Padres earned their 2nd straight walk-off win against the Dodgers. One night after Melvin Upton Jr.'s 9th inning homer delivered a W, Yanhervis Solarte bases loaded walk bottom 11. That led San Diego past L.A. 3-2. Rays outfielder Kevin Kiermaier broke his hand in the loss to the Tigers. Will be evaluated again tomorrow to see how long he might be sidelined.
Anthony Rizzo and the Cubs have been the hottest team in baseball. They'll head to San Fran to battle Hunter Pence and the Giants. Cubs-Giants presented by Harley-Davidson. Today at 7 Eastern on ESPN and on ESPN Radio.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Lexington? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Lexington area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Lexington is a perfect market for my system, and next week I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-266-1959. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. That's 1-800-266-1959. That's 1-800-266-1959.
MLS Power Sports, Central Kentucky's only premier Arctic Cat dealer and one of the highest volume pre-owned power sports stores in the Southeast. MLS Power Sports offers service on all major brand motorcycles, dirt bikes, ATVs, and side-by-sides. Looking to accessorize your ATV? You can find it all at MLS Power Sports. Stop by anytime, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown. Meet the friendly, experienced staff that will enjoy serving you. For more information, check out MLSPowerSports.com.
Ride MLS Power Sports. Got the ride you're looking for.
But most of all, ride victoriously.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
If I could hire one firm in America to represent my family or friends for injuries, a medical mistake, or for a claim against an insurance company, I would hire us, hands down. No firm in America has tried more personal injury cases in the last 5 years than us. I challenge you to find one. You won't. Insurance companies know who we are and, more importantly, what our results are. The tobacco companies have battled us in the courtroom, and we have verdicts to prove it of $90 million, $40 million, and $18 million for our clients. Black farmers received $1.2 billion for compensation for years of discrimination against them as a result of our efforts. BP Oil knows who we are as we represent thousands of business owners. Years of verdicts at trial and the desire and the money to fight for justice for our clients is why I would hire us. No brag, just fact. Morgan & Morgan, forthepeople.com. Offices, Lexington.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
So we have Kyle Tucker on the line from the Louisville Courier-Journal. He has been in touch with a good way to fade that out, Josh. That was nice. I love that, like, easy, smooth transition. And I didn't even notice that the music stopped playing. Perfect, perfect. Good morning, Kyle. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, good.
Hey, Kyle. So we have been talking. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, and we're going to talk about it with you now. Isaiah Briscoe and Marcus Lee have until Wednesday to make up their minds whether they're going to stay or go. What is your feeling on both those guys?
Well, I think they're legitimately torn, which is really interesting because I also think that really neither one of them have much of a great shot of being drafted. It's a really strange situation to me. Seth Greenberg from ESPN tweeted yesterday that it's odd to him that some players are going to get negative feedback and come back and stay in the draft anyway. And, that's basically what I think probably is the case for both these guys. Isaiah Briscoe's dad told me that, he's heard that his son looks good, has looked good in some of these NBA workouts, but There's really no, I mean, he didn't get a combine invite. Marcus did get a combine invite and was, I think, by all accounts, the worst performer at the combine, certainly of the guys who played 5-on-5. So, you know, I think in both cases, the best they can hope for is somebody saying, yeah, you know, if you're there, we'll likely take you in the second round. I can't imagine anybody give them a rock-solid promise that they're going to take them in the second round. And the second round doesn't guarantee you any money. So it's an odd situation that either of them hasn't even made up their mind, because to me it seems like a pretty clear-cut decision.
So interesting to read the comments from George Briscoe that you put in the Courier-Journal about, one, the unfair media scrutiny about Briscoe's shooting woes, and then two, that Briscoe is a way better player in NBA workouts than he is at Kentucky, which was also the case with Scalabissier, by the way.
Yeah.
But just an interesting take from him, don't you think?
Yeah, you know, and I think there's a little bit of frustration probably there. You know, it is strange. It's strange that he was, you know, a good, not great. He was never great, but he was a good shooter in high school from the field and from the free throw line, about a 70% free throw shooter for his entire Nike EYBL career, which encompasses a lot of games over a lot of different summers. You know, I think it was around, you know, 300 or so free throws, so it's a pretty big body of work. You know, he hit free throws to win Peach Jam, you know, with 2 seconds left, so in a pressure-packed situation. You know, he won a three-point contest at one of the big national All-Star games, and so his dad is really sort of stupefied, and as are a lot of people, why his numbers were so bad at Kentucky. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is.
But I think of any player, Kyle, that I've seen that has had, you know, there's been a ton of them that you might point to some negative media attention. I don't see that with Isaiah Briscoe. I don't think it was a media piling on type of thing. This was his coach saying those things.
Yeah. I don't think it was, I don't know if it was a widely held belief about media scrutiny or just a couple of instances that upset him. But, you know, in any regard, you know, I just think he's got an odd choice, because I think part of the issue is, you know, they had Jamal Murray and Tyler Ulis this past year, which sort of took him out of his element. He wasn't going to have the ball in his hands as much. He, you know, came in as a point guard, and they're going to have De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk this coming year. And so it's going to be a similar situation. And it just, I guess, I think probably more than anything for him, it boils down to whether or not he thinks he can shine and showcase himself for that next level within another probably three-guard backcourt. So it'll be interesting. I think he is – I do think he's one guy, you know, between the two, between Lee and Briscoe, he may be the one guy that if he decides – you know, if the NBA knows he really is, you know, going in the draft and staying in the draft, which I think most people probably didn't take that NBA bid real seriously. If he declares that now and then goes and works out, maybe he does get a flyer in the second round, because there are a lot of things he does well, even if he's not shooting. He was a really good rebounding guard, a really good defensive guard. And I think the shot is something you can probably fix. I mean, at least improve. And so I think he'd have a chance, but in both cases, I think Marcus Lee and Isaiah Briscoe would both be well-served to come back. I mean, I understand Marcus Lee probably worrying about playing time, but especially now that they didn't get Marquise Bolden, you know, he's going to have a big role on next year's team. I don't know if he'll start, but I think he'll have a chance to start. I think you could see a scenario where he starts at the five and Bam Adebayo plays four. And even if he doesn't start, he's going to have to play a ton of minutes. So, I think both guys would be very valuable to Kentucky, and I think another year in school would be useful to both of them as well.
Yeah, with Isaiah Briscoe and with John Calipari and how he recruits, it doesn't matter if you're recruited over whatever. He's still trying to convince that, you know, rising tide raises all ships, and that's a hard thing to sell to parents. And you'll hear Calipari say it, hey, block it all out. I don't want you to listen to anybody. It just listen to me. And trust me, and we'll get you through this thing. And that seems to be that maybe Charles Matthews has listened to others, or maybe he just feels that it's too crowded and he's just not going to squeeze in. But what was your take on his transfer?
Yeah, I think he really wanted to be more involved in the offense. And that certainly was not going to be the case next year. He had a role. I think Calipari had a role he envisioned for him, which was to be, you know, a defensive stopper and an energy guy, a rebounder, and, you know, get buckets when you can get easy buckets. But, given what they had coming in next year, it was going to be hard for him to get a lot of time, and it certainly to get, you know, involved more offensively. And so it makes sense. I mean, I don't think it was totally stunning that a guy like that would want to go somewhere else. It is interesting, the thing you bring up about, you know, the other people around. I think that's one of the toughest things for college basketball coaches in general, but I think especially at Kentucky, and the guys that they're bringing in, the high level guys, people, a lot of different people have hitched their wagons to in terms of, you know, this kid's success is going to be my success.
Yeah.
I think probably the hardest part of that job once they get here is managing all the people in their ear and trying to get them not to listen to them, trying to get those people not to talk to them, you know, in the first place, but knowing that they will, and trying to get them not to listen, you know, to pay attention to the right voices. It's tough, and it's tough to tell a kid don't listen to your parents, or, you know, to tell a kid don't listen to your, you know, your high school coach, because those are people that they've grown, you know, they trust, and they should be able to trust. But sometimes people, you know, get carried away. They get bad advice. Sometimes I don't think it's even like a, you know, some, you know, insidious motivation by a parent, sort of a delusion about how good their kid is, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you're good enough for the NBA. You need to go, or you should be getting more minutes. It's ridiculous that you're not. You know, I understand that. I understand as a parent, you know, wanting to think your kid is better than he is. But when you get those voices and they get too loud, I think it certainly can be a distraction for the program, and it can really be tough in terms of just managing your roster. I mean, a guy like Dakari Johnson.
Yeah.
I know that John Calipari did not want him to go. I know that he told him that he didn't think he should go, and he went. And the one thing they were missing last year was Dakari Johnson, basically, a player like Dakari Johnson. And Dakari Johnson was in the D-League. And I went out and saw him in the D-League and interviewed him in the hotel lobby of a place that smelled like old fish. And, and so, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out when you listen to people that are saying things that you want to hear as a player, which may or may not be the best advice.
Speaking of fish, Duke tweeted out a little something after the
good segue
after the bold and sweepstakes wrapped up. What did you make of that?
Well, first of all, I love it, because I love what's happening right now, where we have sort of open warfare, even though no one's going to admit it's open warfare. I mean, everyone with eyeballs and a brain realizes it is open warfare between Kentucky and Duke right now. They're going after the same players. They're taking some shots at each other. I mean, it was clearly Calipari's thing, even though he said it wasn't. His manifesto a couple weeks ago was clearly about Duke, and where he said that he wasn't going to tell, you know, make any kids any promises about taking care of them for their life, but that Kentucky would give them a fishing rod and teach them to fish instead of giving them the fish. And so, yeah, it was pretty funny when Duke got the player Kentucky wanted and tweeted out a bunch of fish and fishing rod emojis, and then quickly deleted it. So it must have been somebody who didn't have final approval tweeted that one out, but
yes.
It certainly made for entertainment.
Gutless to delete it. Just leave it out there. You said it. Just stand behind it. Be
absolutely
about it. You know.
Oh, absolutely. Wow. I fully agree. I wish it should have been left up.
Now with Marcus Lee, we going back there. We didn't ask you about him canceling his workout. I'm trying to figure out what to read into that.
Yeah. I mean, I think now, even though I was fairly certain last week that he was gone, I think there's that may be a positive sign that he is going to come back to school. But it's also possible, I know that he had at least one workout, which would have been with the Chicago Bulls on either Saturday or Sunday after the combine. He was going to stay there and work out for them. So, you know, either with them or maybe one of the early in the week workouts, it's possible that one of those teams said to him, hey, look, if you're there, we'll take you. Or, hey, if you don't go, we'll immediately sign you and we'll put you here or here. And that was satisfactory enough for him to pull out. But, I mean, the more logical reason he would do that would be that he was coming back to school. So we will know for sure by Wednesday because I believe Wednesday is the 25th.
Yeah, it is.
It'll all be over soon is the good news. We can stop speculating and Calipari can figure out what his roster looks like. And if he needs to go find somebody late in this process to fill out his roster.
Do you think he still would be looking for someone if both those guys go?
If they both go, I mean, I don't know if anybody's available, but I think he would certainly want to add somebody. I think that would really put him in a rough spot. You know, you lose some real depth and a potential starter, you know, in the backcourt in Briscoe. You lose some real depth and a potential starter in the frontcourt. Marcus Lee, as much as, you know, he has taken criticism, and, you know, he was far from perfect last year. He did lead them in rebounding and block shots, and he was their top offensive rebounder. And so there's value. He has value. I think also given with the other pieces around him, he could have a really specialized role where he wasn't trying to do too much. And they could say to him, just go block shots and grab rebounds. And if you get some dunks along the way, that's great. And he can foul as much as he wants to foul because they'll have enough people that he could, you know, if he only plays 20 minutes a game, that doesn't kill him. But he certainly has value, and I think losing him would hurt. I think losing Briscoe would hurt because, you know, the other thing is I think you can't understate the value of guys who've been there before. When you're relying mm-hmm. on, you know, if they go five freshmen in the starting lineup next year, they're going to have some speed bumps.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have some problems. But if you've got a senior and a sophomore – really know what they're doing, and it does make a difference. And so I think they could use those guys back just as much as anything, because they need a blend of really good freshmen and veteran guys who know a thing or two to sort of show them the ropes. And so I think that would, as much as anything, that experience would be really big for them.
Yeah, as we saw in 2012, makes a big difference when you got a couple sophomores and a senior mixed in there. And Marcus Lee certainly would be able to, you know, have that rollback that he had as a sophomore. And if he can show production the way he did as a sophomore and then what he did as a freshman in the NCAA tournament, that's kind of the role that he would play in the NBA anyway. So I think that would do him well to be able to do that. And then Briscoe, there's nobody with the toughness that Briscoe has. It just isn't anybody else on the team that has that kind of toughness about them. So he adds a ton, no doubt about it. And the front line issue, I don't think Isaac Humphries or Ty Winyard are the types of guys that Cal wants to play in the way that he wants to play with the guys that he's going to have.
Yeah, I do think Humphries has the potential to, you know, depends on, you know, how much he gets in the weight room and changes his body in the offseason. But I do think Humphries could really bring something to the table. I was impressed in different stretches when he would come in with certain things he could do. He couldn't do everything they wanted him to do. 12 rebounds in that fateful Texas A&M game for him. That was really impressive performance. He will get in there and throw his body around, you know, and I think a sophomore Isaac Humphries certainly will be a significant contributor, even if it's only as a, you know, 15 minutes a game off the bench to give one of those other big men a breather, or if they get in foul trouble. I think that's very useful. I think he will serve a very significant purpose this coming season. I don't know what to make of Winyard because, you know, it seemed like he was going to play, and then he didn't play at all. And then in his most recent comments, Calipari said he was, you know, kind of a long ways off and he was on a different timetable than all these other players, and it didn't make it sound at all to me like he thought Winyard was ready to come in and, you know, now be an impact guy as a redshirt freshman. So
yeah.
I'm curious to see him going into next season, if he's the kind of guy that can add anything, because he's strong as an ox. I mean, he's another guy who could, you know, knock a bunch of people around in the paint. But, if he doesn't have the skill set, then that obviously makes a difference.
Who are you most looking forward to watching next year? Which one of the freshmen?
I would probably Bam Adebayo, because I think, he will be one of the more aggressive big men Calipari's ever had. I think, he'll be so valuable to them because of how much they missed that kind of presence this past year. He's going to dunk a lot. He's going to, have some ferocious blocks and dunks and be a real energetic force for them. And I guess, I'll say in the front court him, and then in the back court probably Malik Monk, because he is electric. If you've seen any of his highlights, I saw him a lot on the AAU circuit last summer, and he talks about, he kind of compares his game to Russell Westbrook, and I that's kind of how he plays. 100 miles an hour, can hit these crazy pull up threes from anywhere on the floor, and then just a violent finisher at the rim, super athletic. He's going to have, I would guess he'll probably produce the most highlight reel plays on the team next year. And he'll be a lot of fun. He's a streaky shooter. He's not going to consistently hit, 40% from three. He's going to have games where he hits 6 or 7 and then games where he goes 0 for 8 or 10 probably. But he's going to have some moments where he's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yes, that whole team should be fun to watch, and we always enjoy talking to you, Kyle. Thank you so much for getting up with us on a Sunday morning. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Kyle.
Yeah, brother. Good talking to you. Thank you.
Kyle Tucker from the Courier-Journal on with us here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. We'll be back with more after this.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Mama started smiling like, Mama,
I gotta go. I done took so many trophies. The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Russillo and Canel.
We're talking with Charles Barkley.
With the Spurs going down, with Tim Duncan looking, he started to look old in this series.
Danny, first of all, he's old. It's time for Tim to come do TV with us or come do radio with you guys. Tim is the greatest power forward ever. The sports are for young guys. It's time to go home, man. It's over for everybody at some point.
Russillo and Canel.
1-4 on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Lucky's Auto Sports is Central Kentucky's largest window tinting facility. Defining rides since 1999. Want to cut down on glare while you're driving? Want to protect your interior? Want that stylish look of darker windows? Bring your car or truck to Lucky's Auto Sports for same-day service and let us tint your windows today. Our staff has over 40 years' experience and all the tools of the trade in auto tinting to ensure quality service. And all of our professional window tinting for your car, truck, RV, or SUV is backed by a lifetime warranty on bubbling, peeling, and fading. Lucky's Auto Sports only uses high-performance films, and all of our tint is computer cut. That means a machine cuts the tint before our technicians apply it to your vehicle's windows, so everything looks factory installed. Call us at 859-299-4411 or get a quote and download coupons at luckysautosports.com today. That's Lucky's Auto Sports, your source for window tinting, auto and truck accessories, car audio, remote starts, and more.
I am so tired of all this political talk. All they want to do is blow smoke. I want to talk cars, trucks, and road trips.
Well, you know what Willie Jeff says, vote early, vote often. Don't let the political haze make you crazy. Relax, plan your road trip, and let the experts at Truck and Auto Extras take care of your car or truck. And my wife loves those thumper sound systems.
Oh, by the way, I love your wife's pantsuits.
Warm weather is here, so come on in to Truck and Auto Extras and let the experts get you ready for summer with window tinting, remote car start, bed covers, lift kits, new tires, and so much more. You can even pick up those off-road accessories you've been wanting. Truck and Auto Extras, your destination to accessorize your car. Don't drive north, south, or west. Head east to 1098 East New Circle Road. Truck and Auto Extras. Or you could head to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I approve this message.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
I saw a new food product.
Product, probably more than food.
Yeah. But but apparently soon is to be released is Taco Bell's new taco that is fried chicken shell. All right, so they take a piece of chicken and I guess flatten it out and bread it and deep fry it, and then that becomes the taco shell, is the fried chicken. So we're eating fried chicken stuffed with, I guess, lettuce, tomatoes,
cheese, sour cream, all that good stuff.
Beef.
I don't know. So I would put beef in it.
Yeah.
No.
Josh says, yeah, you got to put beef in it.
Or no, do
you put,
I don't know.
Beef and nacho cheese, forget all the lettuce and all that stuff. That's all you need.
Yeah. Beef and nacho cheese, forget all the lettuce.
No.
I don't know that I could. I don't know that I could do it. I still have never had, like you mentioned off the air, the Kentucky Fried Chicken had the double-decker sandwich.
Double down.
Yeah. So you were all about Double Down, Josh?
I made a lot of them.
You made a lot of them?
Yeah.
All right, so that was...
He used to work at KFC.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It was KFC Taco Bell.
Okay.
Had the best of both worlds.
So it had... That one had like a piece of fried chicken on top and bottom, right? And then what was in the middle? Mashed potatoes?
No.
What was it?
Cheese and bacon.
I hadn't had that, and I never had... Still haven't had like the Krispy Kreme donut or a donut burger. You see those all over, like
that.
At the state fair and other places have that. I'm just not that adventurous. Like if I'm going to go try something crazy, it's going to be some Indian food at Tandoori or something. Something that I haven't had, you know, like.
Sometimes don't you think like a hamburger is great and Krispy Kremes are great. Mm-hmm. Why do we need to go and mess with it? Can't they just be great on their own?
Yeah, I guess, but if you don't experiment, how do you know? Like chicken and waffles.
That's right. Someone came up with that.
And that is
and
good.
It was a hit.
That is a good thing. Yeah.
But a fried chicken taco, I'm not sure I'm as down with.
I'm telling you, last night we drove out to Wallace Station, which you don't do it often because it's like a 20, 30 minute, you know, drive out there. And then you're out there for maybe an hour, and so it's like a 2-hour ordeal to go to Wallace Station or Windy Corner. Always worth it. Always so worth it. And last night I had country ham and pimento cheese melt. Ugh. Come on. And then they have those Woodford cookies. Have you ever had the Woodford cookies?
No. But your wife had the burger that you said was
Yeah. She had the burger out there, just, you know, plain cheeseburger, and just raved about it being the best she's ever had. Because that beef comes from a farm around here. I know Stone Cross is one of the farms I hear a lot that provides meat to local restaurants around here. So, yeah, the meat doesn't come from, you know, some processing plant that got it from some other farm. And by the time it gets over there, it's, you know, it's not all that. It's somewhere around the corner, you know, mm-hmm. that farm-to-table stuff. I'm such a big believer in that stuff because if you know the people who are growing the food and it doesn't have to travel a far distance, it's going to be better.
Yes.
There's just no question about it.
I won't name the place, but I definitely got food poisoning last night.
Oh.
And it has been,
oh.
It's just been a terrible 24 hours.
Oh, that's horrible. There's nothing. It's so bad when that happens.
It is so bad. It is so bad.
It happened to... Slight, very slight version of it, but my kids, I'll take them to soccer practice on Thursday night, so it's a rush to get from work to school pick them up, got to get something in their bellies. Otherwise, they're not eating anything between lunch and 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. So you got to get something. And so I've changed my mind on how I do this and approach it differently because of this. So we, you know, go through a drive-thru real quick and try to, you know, eat something. And so we all got something, and I won't mention the name of the place. But we were all sick. We were all just like, ugh, I think we're going to throw up, just all nauseous and headaches and just did not feel good. Like we'd been poisoned. And so from then on, what I do is I just make sure ahead of time, or even if I pick them up, I stop at a grocery store or something and get
sandwich stuff.
Yeah, as healthy like as I can think of, the closest I can think of, like a, you know, some peanut butter and crackers or, you know, some kind of protein bar or something like that, or, you know, granola bar. Or,
fruit.
Yeah, fruit. Just something that's not fried, deep fried, you know, all that stuff, which is, hey, it's quicker to do it that way.
It is.
And so, anyway, yeah, just have it with you. Like, I even ride around. I have, like, little things of Cheez-Its and Fig Newton packs and peanut butter and crackers. So if you see me and you're hungry, flag me down. I can toss you something at the stoplight. There you go. So I just keep that stuff because you never know with kids when you're on the go and they need something. Because some, you know, they, like, if I'm hungry, I can ride it out and make
They're hungry right now.
Yeah. And if they don't get something, it takes them the other way in a bad way. And you just don't want to mess
Zero to 100 real quick.
We're going to take a real quick break. Take your calls, 381-1313. We'll be back with more on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Lexington? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Lexington area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Lexington is a perfect market for my system, and next week I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-266-1959. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. That's 1-800-266-1959. That's 1-800-266-1959.
Run or walk for a cause. Saturday, May 28th at the Woodford Humane Society's 2016 Woodford Way. A family fun event with a 5K cross-country race and a 2K dog walk at the Woodford County Park in Versailles. Register online at woodfordhumane.org until midnight, May 25th, or on the day of the event beginning at 7:30 a.m. Awards, prize drawings, and contests after the race include treats for dogs and humans, so everyone wins. Woodford Wag, Woodford County Park, 275 Beasley Road in Versailles, behind Falling Springs Recreation Center. Visit woodfordhumane.org for more.
Now is a great time to volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Volunteering is an opportunity to directly impact lives.
To see a life changed, to have it flourish in front of you. And the mission is a great place to volunteer to see that. You really get to see the results of your input.
And anyone can do it. So no matter how much time you might be able to give, a little or a lot, volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Call us at 381-9600.
Here's Carrie Patterson with big news from Carpet One.
Shop Carpet One's I Love It flooring sale and save up to $500 on select floors store-wide. Plus, save up to 50% on Tigresa carpets, all with great financing options available. Visit the experts at Carpet One for tremendous savings now through June 20th during our I Love It flooring sale.
Visit Carpet One, 390 New Circle Road, or on the web at carpetonelex.com. Finance subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
ESPN Sports Radio. The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313. 281-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Do you think Jacob Tammy poisoned my food last night?
He might have.
That
I mean,
would not
that's a
shock
reason.
Me.
That's a you know, I think it's funny that you bring that up, and I saw you going back and forth with Larry Vaught. It's so funny. We are on the radio at the same time. Larry Vaught is on the radio at a competing station in this town, and you two are tweeting back and forth. That's great. That's good stuff. That's good. We kept talking
It's all friendly competition here.
We kept talking about food throughout the break there, but I'm telling you.
You do have some bad food experiences out there.
You do?
There are times when it is just not good. Does that dissuade you from ever doing it again? If you've gone somewhere 10 times and you've had 10 positive experiences and the 11th time does not go well, will you go back and give them another shot, or is it just done?
Yeah, it depends on how bad the experience was, what happened, but I will usually just take a break. Like Ken Ramsey told us that time that Julian Leperoux wasn't listening to what his instructions were, and suspended him for 30 days. Don't call me. Don't have your agent call me. You're not riding any of my horses. We'll talk again in 30 days. That's probably the way I do it. But then there are times I have done it to the point where I am so mad at myself. I'm like, every time I come here, every time, why do we keep doing this? Every time, too much money, food stinks, why are we doing this? But what I've tried to do and found out is that I try to eat as little fast food as possible. I know my appearance doesn't look that way, but it's true. I do not eat fast food even once a week. I mean, it's less than that. What I get is I try to now not eat the heavier lunch because it just wipes you out. You've got nothing left for the rest of the day, and there's so much left to be done, especially if you got kids.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't leave work and go home and boom, it's ugh. So I started doing something that I used to do years ago, especially in the sports TV world of running all over the place. You just don't have time to get a good meal. So grabbing fast food is not the way to go, because that could lead to a lot of bad things. So what I used to do is just every week on Sunday, go ahead and put together what I'm going to eat that week, which is I just bag up or put in little Tupperware bowls, vegetables. Like, I'll pick three or four vegetables, carrots, celeries, cucumbers, you know, broccoli. That's the worst. It's the hardest to do, but you just got to choke it down.
I love broccoli, but really? That always sounds like such a great idea. I just feel like actually putting it into practice is tough. And then by Wednesday, I'm like, oh, good. Do I want what I made myself on Sunday, or
right.
Do I want Chinese food?
Well, I'm not saying you go all the way with it. Like dinner, I have whatever we're going to have for dinner, whatever my wife is making, which that could be she put some chicken in the crock pot with rotella, and we had some burritos.
I love that stuff.
So we just pulled chicken, rotella, put it in a burrito, throw some cheese on it, enchilada sauce in the oven for 30 minutes, bang. That's probably not the healthiest thing, but it's not horrible. It's, you know, better than fried food.
Yes.
Trying to remember what else we had. But, you know, we cook something every night. Oh, potato soup, which is full of, like, it got cream cheese in it and cream of chicken and, you know, all kinds of cream stuff.
Good.
And it's potatoes, carbs. And so that's not the best. But if you ate vegetables and fruits all day and didn't eat anything fried and heavy, that's a lot better than if you added that dinner to a bad day. So it's not always easy to do. But I just get the vegetables and the fruit ready. So have some two things of fruit, two things of vegetables, like a yogurt and some hard-boiled eggs. Throw that in a little bitty cooler that you can carry around and just make yourself eat it. Do not let the day go by with you have not eaten all that stuff. And you just feel better overall if you can do that. And it only takes like 30 minutes or so to get that ready on a Sunday, just to bag them out individually or chop it up or boil the eggs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't take too long. And then if you go to the grocery and you know what that you're grabbing that stuff, that's also 30 minutes or less. So you're talking about an hour out of your week to set it up right. But looking, if you've seen me, you're thinking, damn, you should be in great shape. That's because I haven't done it in all the time, or I haven't done it in a long time. But
listen, I mean, at the end of the day, we all know what we should be doing,
yes,
and what we shouldn't be doing. It, yes, is not rocket science.
Yes, it's not.
I am great at making excuses,
mm-hmm,
all the time. I mean, where I travel for work and I'm in places.
Yes, it's harder than it could possibly be on you. And you have a baby.
And so I go to, and I just make it, I make the excuse up. Well, guess what? I went to this town today. They only had a McDonald's.
Right.
And that's oftentimes the case. But most places also do have a Subway.
Yeah.
I could probably get the salad somewhere.
Yeah. But driving around in a car, that's the worst.
It is.
That's the hardest to adopt something healthier that way. And then with a baby.
Yeah.
Because the baby, you know, grabs a lot of time as well. And as far as like exercising, so hard. Because
so hard.
With what you got going on in your day, you know?
And like on Tuesdays or Wednesdays, I'll think to myself, hey, on Saturday when I go do the radio show, I'm going to climb 4 flights of stairs.
Yeah.
So I don't need to do anything throughout the rest of the week. And then when I get up that third row of steps, I feel it.
Yep.
I feel the burn.
When I was coming up those steps today, I was thinking to myself, man, what a workout this would be. Like if you just go to the 4 and go back down and you would get your rest. And then come back up again, it would be a killer workout. But what I wish more than anything is that I was one of those people that when it's 6 o'clock in the morning, you're like, bang. Like you just, it's no problem to get up. It's not a struggle. It's just something you're born with. Some of these people. Now, some people, it is a struggle and they do it anyway and they just have better willpower than,
yes,
I do. But for other, I mean, I have known, I don't know how many people where they are, they're just that way. They are just, even in college or something, would just pop up real early because they're just born that way. They're early risers. They also go to sleep, you know, a lot earlier. Me, I'm up till as late as I could possibly stand it sometimes. The older I get, it catches up with me. I do go to bed earlier.
It does the older you get, yeah, but you're, you know.
Used to being up
you're
later.
You're so used to your work schedule,
right,
being, you know, afternoon to late at night.
But if I could wish for anything besides, like, you know, being financial freedom and not having to ever worry about anything, but it would be to have that thing that when you wake up at 6 a.m., it is no problem. You don't have to convince yourself, nothing. It's just, bang, I'm up. Hey, let's do it. Oh, I wish I had that.
Yeah.
'Cause occasionally I've been able to have, like, do that a few times here or there, you know? And when I do, God, you feel so good by the time you get to work and you get going, having,
yes, I mean,
done some exercise before you go. There are so many great benefits to it that you'd be stupid not to do it, but it's so hard to convince yourself
to
do it. It's
so
hard with everything.
And it's like 20 more minutes of sleep would be, yeah, really great too.
Yes. All right. There's one other thing we need to get to that we haven't talked about at all. We talked about this yesterday a little bit on the Dan and Mary Joe Show here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. And that was UK football lost a couple commitments for the 2017 class yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got another one, and we're going to talk about it next here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
What's it like working at Massage Envy in Lexington? Here's Jason, a 3-year massage therapist. How did you find Massage Envy?
I had a couple friends work there and they said, you should try it. You'll love it. And sure enough, I went over there and I never felt more cared for by people.
How's the teamwork at Massage Envy?
Front desk, they try to help the client find the right type of therapist and they recommend enhancements and then they get to us and we get to try to do our magic on them.
Interested in Massage Envy for a career? Email us now at lexington.ky@massageenvy.com.
Calling all military officials, firefighters, police officers, EMTs, and paramedics, both active and retired. Dixie Chopper is honoring our hometown heroes by offering a $250 mail-in rebate on any new Dixie Chopper lawnmower. All Dixie Choppers are proudly made in the USA. And we want to honor our hometown heroes across the nation. Visit Southern States in Georgetown, your locally owned farmer co-op since 1945, for the best selection of Dixie Chopper mowers, Southern States.
What's it like working at Massage Envy in Lexington? Sherry came to Massage Envy 2 years ago, right out of school.
I wanted to help people. It's the satisfaction of helping them that interested me.
Why Massage Envy?
The benefit package. I think they offer a very good benefit package. They offer vacations, paid insurance, pay CEUs. Massage Envy is a great place to work. It's got a great atmosphere, and I love it.
Interested in Massage Envy for a career? Email us now at lexington.ky@massageenvy.com.
It's a great day to eat barbecue. My favorite thing is the cowbell. Moo!
My favorite thing is the slow-cooked meat. Their vinegar slaw reminds me of my grandma's house in Birmingham.
My favorite thing about City Barbecue is the atmosphere and food.
I love coming to City Barbecue because I love their fries.
Their pulled chicken is filled with flavor.
I love their turkey.
My favorite thing about City Barbecue is all of the smoked meat.
My favorite thing about City Barbecue is I always leave happier than when I got here.
What's it like working at Massage Envy in Lexington? Here's Mike. How long have you been a massage therapist?
I've been a massage therapist for 8 years now.
What do you love best about your job?
It's the only thing I've ever done that I truly love. There's nothing like feeling a muscle relax and knowing you did it.
Why further your career at Massage Envy?
That's a long list. I love my clientele. I love the people I work for. All the benefits, insurance, the pay. I live a very comfortable life.
Interested in Massage Envy for a career? Email us now at lexington.ky@massageenvy.com.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Really, that's it. Just need a good time. Wouldn't it be great to live that way?
Yes.
Way back when.
Like Poison of the 80s.
Yes. That's the way they did it. At UK football, they lost two guys this week.
For 2017. Mm-hmm.
This is all based in Toledo. That's what's crazy about it. They lost this defensive end, James Hudson, four-star guy from a high school there in Toledo. Alabama gave an offer, and it was Derek Ansley.
Yes.
From, you know, former UK secondary coach.
And Vince Morrow let him know.
Yeah. Vince Morrow told him on Twitter, huh, it's funny.
All up in here.
Yeah. Didn't like to recruit Ohio when you were here, but now y'all up in it. And so he got that Alabama offer, and he said, hey, UK's still high on my list, but this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Want to take my visits. Okay, then his teammate, running back Michael Warren, his high school teammate, says the same thing. Yep, I'm going to open it back up. I'm still UK, still high on my list, but once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I want to take my visits. Well, so another kid out of Toledo who was playing at a junior college in Kansas was visiting campus yesterday. 6'5" JUCO defensive lineman Phil Hoskins committed during his visit. So you lost two kids from Toledo, and then you pick up one from Toledo. He's for the 2017 class, so he'll play another season over there in JUCO in Kansas.
He had some other pretty good offers.
Baylor, Mississippi State, Iowa State, Houston were all in on him.
Oklahoma State?
Yeah. So, yes, that's good. So Scout.com ranks him a three-star defensive end, and he plays at Highland Community College in Kansas. I got all this from John Hale from the Courier Journal, his write-up on this. So defensive linemen are big. Big, 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 big. Kentucky needs them.
Yes.
And I guess Kentucky is going to miss out on that kid from Nebraska. What was his name? Kevin Williams or Neil Williams?
Yes,
or
Kevin, I think.
Neil, or I don't know. But, yeah. Defensive lineman, it all looked good. Looked like they were going to get him, and then no. So, looks like they've got what they've got. That's going to be tough. It's going to be tough up front. Kentucky just does not have. It's one of those things where I do see where Stoops keeps building, like he says, stack good class upon good class. So they've got more talent. But you remember Rich Brooks would have, like, he would say, we need to get, if we could just get the offense and the defense in the same year, we'd be dynamite.
Yes.
Like, we'd have a good offense one year, and the defense would be horrible. We'd have a good defense one year, and the offense would be horrible. And it kept going back that way. Well, the defensive line thing, it's kind of like that positions for Stoops, where they were weak in the secondary and stronger on the defensive line. They had Za'Darius Smith and Bud Dupree.
Yes. And then they went out and built that secondary.
Yeah.
And now that's the strength of the defense.
Right. Or the linebacker issues. They still haven't had the linebacker, the type that they want, that they really need. They haven't had that yet. This may be it, though, with some guys that haven't played, they're unproven, we don't know, but the Courtney Love and DeNiro Laster, they sound like, from what you hear, they sound like they are going to be great. But, you know, Ryan Flanagan, so much was made about how good he was. A JUCO kid coming in, and, you know, he didn't come on until the end of his junior season. And then his senior season, there was so much injury and stuff that he really just didn't do anything. And
well, and, you know, you have to think that a part of their plan was Jason Hatcher.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and
that was a big loss.
That's a huge loss, because you have to think that by the time he had his junior and senior seasons, they were going to be expecting a lot out of him.
Yeah. Well, you look at a guy like Kanjera Daniel. Like, if you see him in person, he looks like a guy who could really help you. And I think they're thinking the same thing. I've lost his name. The kid from New Jersey, who was a big sack guy, played some. But another outside linebacker with potential. The thing is, they've got several guys in the linebacker / defensive end role and on the inside linebacker that have potential, that are guys that got those recruiting numbers up, that you know, had the stars. Or
it's just that they need them now.
Yeah, they need them now. They don't have time to have a year to learn. Although they've been here, all of those guys, I guess, have been here a year at least. But I mean playing. Having a year of playing full-time and then building on that after that. So that's the experience factor at linebacker is going to be an issue. But the secondary is going to be great. It's just, I'd probably be fine at linebacker. It's just the defensive line you really wonder about without Matt Elam's going to have to be.
Has to be.
Something else. Like he's, I don't know, we'll have to see how he takes it. He's got to have the mindset that he really, really, really wants to be a first-round NFL draft pick. Because I think he could be.
Yes.
If he really goes after it. So that's, they're going to have to, he's going to have to convince himself that that's what he wants. And it just takes time sometime for 18 and 19-year-olds to get to where they're thinking like a 25-year-old would.
And really, for him to be a high-round draft pick, he doesn't need to have 3 or 4 great years.
Right.
He needs to have a great year.
One great. If he had a phenomenal year this year, he could go. He could go right after it and wouldn't be back for his senior season, because he's just, people his size don't move like that, and the NFL wants those guys.
Yeah. So needs those guys. He could just show out one year. That's really all it would take.
He's and then I was told by Jimmy Brumbaugh, the defensive line coach, that position, zero technique as they call it, the nose guard, is the most important position on defense. And you think, okay, how so? And that guy's not getting a bunch of tackles. He's not getting a bunch of sacks. You know, he's not covering the receivers. He's not the linebacker meeting the running back in the hole to stop him from picking up the first down. What are you talking about? Well, he just controls at the point of attack there, and the center is, you know, the quarterback of the offensive line and making the calls. He can be very disruptive and cause some problems. And you saw, without Melvin Lewis last year,
yes,
things changed a little bit. So it's going to be big for Matt Elam, you know.
Pun intended. It's also one of those things where, I mean, since he stepped on campus, it's been a weight issue.
Yes.
Where he's got to lose this and he's got to lose that. And every offseason you kind of think, why are we not?
Mm-hmm.
And listen, we were just had a whole fast food conversation. Yeah. It ain't easy.
No. And it's only been
two years
now.
You know, people there that are.
Yeah.
Getting his food prepared for, you know, setting nutritionists and all that stuff. And if you, you know, think about a future potential payday, I mean, you and I drop 40 pounds, we feel better about ourselves, but ain't nobody paying us anymore.
Right. Well, bigger picture for us, you think health and your kids and all that stuff. And that should be number one, should be hugely important. But it's hard sometimes to make yourself do something for the bigger picture, just like retirement or whatever, saving for that. Josh Allen was the guy I was trying to think of. Josh Allen, the other linebacker that could really come on. So we'll see. Oh, one more thing. Tennessee has a game against Appalachian State that got moved to Thursday night on the SEC Network at 7:30.
So that means Kentucky's game will not get moved.
No chance. I don't think Kentucky plays Southern Miss on Thursday night. Like, there was a little talk of that, and then everybody squashed it, and then Dave Baker said, not so fast. It's possible. But now, I don't think that's happening at all.
UK softball team needs to win two games today to advance to that super regional. So
that's on the Watch ESPN app if you can't get over there to John Cropp Stadium. But it is gorgeous. Look at the sun. It's out.
Get out there.
All right, thanks for listening this weekend. We'll be back next weekend on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You know you love the Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
Texter writes in, can you move to Montana, Fat Lard? I